along with Peyton Manning and what he has done, I think maybe the two other best stories at quarterback are Phillip Rivers and his predecessor, Drew Brees. What do you think?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think what you're saying, Drew Brees is a guy that came in as a second-round pick and struggled a little bit out the blocks, but it took him about 32 games into his pro career before things really settled in and he started to play at a Pro Bowl level, played with a great deal of consistency. But remember, the team around him wasn't as good as it is right now in San Diego, and so you could see why a quarterback would struggle early. I think Phillip Rivers is taking advantage of all the talent he has around him, but I think they're also taking advantage of his maturity, the fact that he's the son of a coach, the fact that he played four full years at North Carolina State. And so he was a guy that has been able to watch, look, and learn over the first couple of years, and now he's ready to come out swinging. So I think if you're San Diego, you know, they were criticized for the way that they were able to jettison Drew Brees out of that organization and go ahead and say, hey, we're going to start this guy, Phillip Rivers. But you might want to say they handled that whole situation about as well as one could, because there's been a seamless transition from a guy like Drew Brees, who had one NFL Comeback Player of the Year, to a guy like Phillip Rivers, who has not skipped a beat. In fact, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level himself.
I think Marty Schottenheimer, being able to scout Phillip Rivers at that Senior Bowl week, he saw his work ethic, he saw his character, he saw a man that had that capacity. But how many teams have that patience? And conversely, with a Ben Roethlisberger, having had 2 years right out of the box, it's as if Bill Cowher has not had the patience to say, you know what, here's a time when I need to give you a few extra weeks to get truly healthy, recover from those things in concussions that are so much out of our control. I've got enough confidence in my team that we can win a few games without you.
Well, I think it's very difficult that once the genie comes out of the bottle, you can't get him back in. In other words, once you turn to that number one draft pick, it's kind of like what the Washington Redskins are doing. A couple of years ago, they drafted number one, Jason Campbell, but they brought in an experienced veteran like Mark Brunell. Once you decide to go away from the veteran and go to the young player, you've got to go ahead and allow him to drive the car. You've got to allow him to go through the growing pains. To go back now to that veteran and say, okay, we made a mistake, we put you in too early, you disrupt, I think, the ability for that young player to grow. You tend to damage his confidence in showing him that, you know, you don't really believe in him as much as you thought you had. Once you go to that young player who you drafted in the first round, once you turn it to him, you can't take it back. You've got to be willing to ride this out. So that's why I think you've got to really be really, really careful before you say, okay, first round, let's go ahead and put him in there. I think that with all costs, you try to wait as long as you can, because once you go to that player, you have to truly be committed to sticking with him even through the difficult times.
Before we get away, Solomon Wilcots, from that Cincinnati-San Diego game, also a very good game from Carson Palmer, but he's not had the protection. He's not had any kind of support on the defensive side. What on earth has happened to Cincinnati? I believe when you have four or five off-season and in-season off-the-field incidents, it distracts. No matter what you say about it, it distracts from the team's sense of focus.
I think more importantly, I think, you know, to be honest with you, I think they've had some injuries on their offensive line that has affected the offense. You lose Rich Bram, you lose your left tackle, Levi Jones. Already Carson Palmer's been hit and sack more in the first half of the season than he did or than he was all of last year. I think that's taken its toll. That's been enough to throw off maybe the rhythm of the offense. I think defensively, they're just not playing as well, particularly in the secondary, as well as they did a year ago. Where they were making a lot of interceptions, now they're giving up huge cushions to receivers, and they're just not making plays. I think what people forget is that this is a very young ball club under their head coach, Marvin Lewis. And I think, yeah, you can't discount some of the distractions you mentioned, Nick. I think they're a young team that's got a big bullseye on their back. The fact that they won the division title last year, now there's all these expectations on them. Once you lose a couple of games, you tend to start pressing. And so the expectations probably were a little bit out of reach. And then I think as they're now starting to deal with some adversity, it's clear that they're not handling it as well. This is kind of what you saw the Seattle Seahawks go through under Mike Holmgren when he first brought in Sean Alexander, brought in Corin Robinson, had Steve Hutchinson and Walter Jones, had made the trade for Matt Hasselbeck. they went through a couple of years of real disappointment, and they went through a couple of years of some real difficult times before you saw them make it to a Super Bowl. I think the collection of talent is there. I think the lack of maturity is not there, and you need both to win consistently in the National Football League.